Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Hashtag Event Icons. My name is Sarah from Endless Events, and I will be your host today. We have a really, really awesome episode planned for you guys. We're going fully into virtual production mode, okay? So get your mind in virtual. I have two incredible, lovely ladies with me today from Socio. If you don't know what Socio is, it is an event technology company that helps enterprises and SMBs optimize their events. A few of their clients include Microsoft, Google, Pinterest, PepsiCo. Ever heard of them? Kind of a big deal. And other companies in organizations in 40 plus countries. So they're everywhere. So we have some experts with us today. I'm super excited to introduce you all to Kara and Sheehan from Socio.
Hey, it's time for another episode of Hashtag Event Icons, presented by Endless Events, the show where you get to ask the icons of the events industry anything. Just follow us on social media to ask questions. Our iconic guests will answer them live during the entire show. Before we get started, the more people we have watching, the better the conversation. So please help share Hashtag Event Icons on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just tell your friends to watch live on any of our social media channels. Now, without any further delay, this is Hashtag Event Icons.
What I like to ask everyone up top is how you got into events. So Kara, feel free to dive into what you do now with Socio, but also how you kind of got into this event space.
Absolutely, thanks Sarah, so excited to be here. I'm Kara Gladish, Manager of Customer Experience at Socio, and I previously wasn't really in the event space before finding Socio. I had my own business called Kahunify. I did digital marketing consulting and web design, but I wanted to be a part of something bigger, join a team, find something new, and heard about Socio, and new events are just so exciting. So I became Socio's customer success manager until just a couple of months ago. And yeah, events are certainly fast paced. I did get to become something, a part of something bigger, and I've never looked back. So that's kind of my story. What about you, Sheehan?
Hey everyone, so my name is Sheehan Ramey and I have been at Socio for almost 2 years. I also actually kind of fell into the events world right out of college. I didn't really know what to expect, but so far it's been awesome. Been doing events for 11 years now, and I feel like, you know, having that experience with every different event being unique, working with so many different event planners and organizers, and really just seeing that whole vision come to life. So just being with Socio and what we've been able to accomplish and working with amazing customers, we're very, very grateful for that. I am the project manager team lead, and I've been with the professional services department for the last year or so, and I started out actually in support helping customers there at Socio.
Very nice. Yeah, both of you have very different backgrounds. That's something that I see all the time on this podcast. People, the fell in thing, people say all the time. People just fall into events, so it's great. But really, it leads to just, I think, more exciting innovation. Everyone comes with just such different backgrounds. Kara, you didn't even know you ran your own business. That's so impressive. You're kind of holding that out on people, so I'm glad you got to flex that a little bit. But yeah, it just makes for, I think, a better overall experience when people are coming from all over. So really cool stuff. So I just definitely wanted to kind of start up top with, obviously our topic today is the nitty-gritty of virtual event production. I think a lot of people have maybe this idea of virtual event production in their head, or even just virtual events. We've been going through this virtual kind of revolution, if you will, for the last year and a half. And we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, even of just, you know, different aspects of virtual events. But even like we were talking about at the beginning, Sheehan, it changes month to month. I feel like our knowledge and our expectations of these events, they're constantly evolving. So if you kind of wanted to touch on that, maybe your experience with those changes that you've seen from the very beginning of the pandemic to now, kick us off, Sheehan, of what you've seen that evolution become.
Yeah, so just taking a look at last year to now, you know, people have become more familiar with utilizing tools like Zoom, WebEx, StreamYard, any of these different platforms that are out there. And so being able to go ahead and be experts at using these platforms has dramatically changed. In the beginning, people weren't super familiar with using these tools. And now people have become more and more familiar, being more and more comfortable on utilizing these tools for events. But taking a look at, it's just more than the actual video experience, thinking about attendee engagement and looking at how can you include and make it more fun for attendees rather than just sitting and watching a screen. So I think from last year to now, being able to take a look at the virtual events world and thinking, you know, how much has it evolved? A ton. And it has changed from month to month. And I think it's going to continue to change that way as we progress, taking a look at what our attendees are looking for, what experiences are they looking for, you know, being able to create that connection with in-person events. The human connection is huge, and being able to try to recreate that, it's challenging, but finding different tools and being able to allow them to connect, I think, is making a big difference. And I think that's continuing to get better and better going forward as we progress towards, you know, hybrid events, back to in-person events, but still keeping that virtual component for those that maybe aren't able to travel to events. So I think a lot has changed there.
Absolutely. And I like that you touched on engagement. I know that's been like a really big push for Socio. I was a part of one of your engagement webinars. So I like that you all are really taking that hard look and just looking to improve and reiterate on those events that we saw last year and say, okay, maybe people were engaged, but how do we engage them better? Or how do we do this better? So I like that you all are looking at that and making it an iterative process. So there's constant, you know, growth and change. What do you think, Kara? Have you seen anything else from the marketing side of things?
Yeah, I think we're in a really exciting time for the technology. I mean, think of like the Mad Men era where you had some other department that made your slides, your presentation, and then PowerPoint came along, right? Now we can all do that. And so we're kind of on the cusp, or like just after the cusp of that for event technology. And I would say event planners are so resilient that this pandemic hit, over a year ago now, and it was such a heartbreak. I mean, I was on the front lines as a customer success manager, and so many events in March, April, May, June, and on and on kept getting canceled, and it was really rough. But so many event planners said, we got to pivot. And now pivot's kind of, we're kind of used to, like, pivoting is the norm now, right? But we had to go from being on site and having the catering and having the AV and having everything to going so technological. And I think that really was intimidating at first, but a technology like Socio, like a lot of other players, has gotten more and more accessible, that your typical really savvy event planner can become basically a TV producer. And a lot of them did that overnight. And that technology is better and better and better, that you don't only have to have a webinar or that's a one to many kind of feel, but a truly experience that translates, kind of takes that feeling as best as you can from the magic of an in-person event to virtual. So I think that is just continuing to get even better and better. And since Socio got acquired by Cisco, their tools are absolutely incredible as well. They are on the future, like the cutting edge of that kind of hybrid movement, that engagement. And we're just going to see more and more kind of evolving in this landscape, you know, from that Mad Men era of like someone else doing your posters to being really accessible and in your hands. So I'm really glad to be in this industry.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting. It's an interesting way that you put that. And that's a great analogy too, of just like, it's kind of, yeah, people now have the power to do it themselves and get their hands kind of dirty and be that person kind of, you know, building that event themselves, which I think is exciting. And you all kind of touched on the in-person element too. And we kind of talked about this at the beginning. I totally thought Socio, you know, we are relationship with you all has been purely virtual, using you all as a virtual platform for some of our clients. If you kind of want to touch on that, where the origin comes from or your involvement with the in-person experience as well, and maybe some of those key differences that you're seeing between those two. I know obviously the pivot, we wanted to put it to rest, but unfortunately with variants and everything coming out, it's kind of this ping-ponging back and forth. So what's the kind of role that you're seeing now between, you know, these event planners that have to now think on their feet yet again, and how that, you know, kind of is going to play out in the future?
Yeah, I just had another event that got canceled. So it's like this again. So it's so heartbreaking. But luckily, Socio is here to help with that pivot. So yeah, Socio's origin was as a kind of a networking tool. And we were really hitting our stride as a mobile event companion app. And then the pandemic hit. And yeah, like everyone else in the industry, we had to pivot pretty fast. And I give, you know, so much kudos to our product team who did that. Not only having the cool tools out there, but, you know, doing them really well. And our suite just got more and more and more powerful. And so now as we finally, things have opened up a bit. I mean, now there's the Delta variant. So like I said, events are getting canceled again, but we have the tools to go hybrid. So you may have some of your attendees in person again, but a lot of folks aren't ready to travel, or they are, you know, working from home, or their company maybe doesn't let them travel. So that virtual element is still so important. And Socio is really well set up for that in-person mobile app for your in-person attendees and the virtual platform for your virtual attendees to have a great hybrid experience. They can talk to each other, and there's so much to offer there. And even if you have mostly an in-person event again, as I'm eventually, you know, hopefully this pandemic wraps up, if you have an in-person event, then there's still this element of, we have to kind of keep, we can't go just purely go back to how it was before. We have to keep things accessible. I think there will always be a virtual element, or at least on demand, or you can certainly expand your audience by having that virtual element. So even the folks who are like, oh, I can't wait to go back to in-person, they can still have a virtual ticket. And Socio allows that, a lot of tools allow that. And it kind of expands your audience in ways we never thought of before the pandemic.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's why our relationship is so good between our companies, is because we say the same thing. We, you know, you're going to be at a loss, I think, if you put all your eggs in one basket and say, nope, this year is purely virtual, this year is purely in person. So we constantly are recommending people find those partners that can adapt and change with you, because, you know, nothing's worse than having to just completely pull your event because of something happening, you know, and it's just going to continue. I mean, yes, COVID is a big eye opener, but now we're seeing all these, you know, really insane natural disasters everywhere. And we just saw, you know, the New York Welcome Back concert was supposed to be, you know, one of their first in-person events back. And then here comes, you know, a hurricane. So, I mean, it's nice to be able to be nimble and go back and forth between those things. But yeah, Shea, and I wanted to give you the opportunity of what you've been seeing in that space as well with currently how everything is playing out.
Yeah, just to echo what Caro said, you know, being able to quickly think and plan in advance. I mean, as event planners, of course, we're always planning, right? That's just kind of our mindset. Being able to think quickly, plan ahead, be problem and solution oriented, you know, focus on the solution and making sure that attendees have that great experience. I feel like with a lot of our organizers, you know, you're never going to find the perfect solution. So just finding a solution for your attendees that work well, but also, you know, having both options on site and virtual kind of gives you that perfect solution. So of course, you're never going to please everyone. That's just the reality of life. But focusing on what are your organization goals for your event? What is your organization goals for what sort of, you know, academia that you're wanting to produce through those, you know, different sessions and credits and everything like that. So just thinking about those things is really, really key, and just planning in advance there. So
totally. Yeah. I love that you take it one step back, because we say that a lot too. It's just, everyone loves to go, what's my platform? What medium am I doing my event in? But it really, there's so many answers that can be, or so many questions that can be answered with that, you know, strategy and design portion first before jumping just head into the production, which is great. And we will talk about right now, but it's, you know, it's really key to just start with the strategy, start with the goals. What's the outcome you're trying to really focus on? So I love that you're echoing that philosophy too, because I still, unfortunately, I feel like we're sometimes just diving right into the finish line when there's so much more to be done beforehand. So I do want to get into our topic. It is about production. So we will go into that third stage of what we recommend people start with. But yeah, I know, Shean, you're the project team lead for Socio. So what, you know, my biggest thing that I want to ask is, we hear it sometimes of just, you know, the misconceptions of virtual production. So if you could share any of those insights of things that you've seen, you know, people have a misconception or a different idea of what virtual production looks like. One of them that we hear all the time is, oh, it's got to be really easy, right? You just upload a video and press play. And we all know, well, I know now that it's so much more than that. So if you could share some of those kinds of things that you've been hearing and seeing in the production world, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, Sarah, you're so correct on that. I mean, back last year, it was always like, okay, this is going to be so easy. Let's just put a Zoom up on, or, you know, any sort of platform on the screen and just have attendees join that. Not knocking any of those things, because those were really important right in the beginning stages. But when it comes to production, it does take more than just that. It does involve planning in advance, of course, going back to the planning there, thinking about what your goals are for those sessions, but also thinking through, you know, line item by line item, who's going to go where and when. You think of an in-person event and you think, okay, on the stage, who's on the stage, who's behind the stage, who's helping mic up the speaker, who's helping make sure the attendees get into the room okay. I mean, there's a ton of logistics on site when you're helping attendees there, and you do need to focus on this very similar experiences when it comes to virtual events. So when it comes to virtual production, thinking about, okay, what is the attendee experience when they click into that session? Will they have music welcoming them? Will they have a welcome screen or a layout that's just kind of covering the whole screen, welcoming them to the right place? They might be clicking into the session and be like, am I in the right place? Like, I have no idea. It's a virtual event. So focusing on those sort of things when it comes to production, thinking about the start to finish experience for each session is incredibly important. You know, thinking throughout the transitions. So of course, using different tools where you're able to have those nice smooth transitions for the different speakers, involving Q&A, like how is this all going to flow? Think about this through this in your head, and then focus on, you know, jotting it down, keeping a Excel doc or whatever you want to do there, but having it line item by line item. We're very used to doing that for our webinars with Socio and executing those. And we definitely recommend that to all of our customers when it comes to executing sessions virtually. Like, you think through the start to finish experience and have that production schedule ready to go, and practice it too. Make sure that you've gone through it, you've rehearsed it, you're not doing it just for the first time when you're first running that session.
Yeah, that's all really great insight. I definitely have seen that with your all webinars. You guys are so good at that. There was, you know, just like everything was really just perfectly run down, and you know exactly who was going to come on at what time, and those transitions really were all there. And you make such a good point. Why are we so good at picturing it with in person? You know, like all the inner workings. You may not be thinking of it when you're watching, you know, the keynote speaker on the main stage, but you know more or less that there's things going on behind the scenes. You can see the table in the back of the room that's helping with all of the AV. So it's really interesting that because we now reduced our events to kind of like this 2D on a screen, everyone just thinks, oh, we're going to reduce our production to like this very flat thing, which it very much is not. So I think that's a really good point to make. And then Kara, I know you're more on the marketing side of things, but you're very close to clients as well. So is there anything that you're kind of hearing with some more of these misconceptions about what really goes into virtual production?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I did say previously that I think the tools and technology are more accessible to a wider audience. But thinking about an in-person breakout session, like maybe you have just the speaker and then just a moderator and maybe one AV person, you may need more people involved when it's virtual. In Socio's case, we are so lucky to have a team of absolute experts with Sheehan and her professional services team to be the behind the scenes for us, because I've learned from a personal experience, it's hard to be an MC and the QA moderator and doing the camera one, camera two kind of thing. So you really do need some more help behind the scenes. As Sheehan said, transitions are so difficult. I remember the first webinar we kind of did this season back in March, we knew all the content that we wanted to do, the different pieces. And I do recommend too that, I mean, people, especially now, are getting a little bit virtual evented out. So we like to do really kind of snappy schedules, kind of shorter segments, have a lot of different speakers and video clips. But those transitions really are tough. Like, okay, we have this all this content, but it's, you can't just go from one thing to the next. You have to kind of transition, just like you would have, you know, music on stage as someone is walking on. So a lot of those pieces, you do have to kind of shift. And like I said, kind of think a little bit like a TV producer, but a lot of those skills from in-person really do translate to virtual. And there's a lot of really fun stuff you can do. And yeah, luckily, I mean, it takes a village, but the outcome can be really, really awesome.
Yeah, no, totally. I just even remember it made me think of my first event icons that I did on StreamYard. And if any of you out there have used StreamYard, you know it's pretty intuitive. But yeah, when you're talking, trying to manage who you're talking to, also switching in between the different camera angles and making sure your settings are right and you look okay and everyone else looks okay, it really is a lot. So that's a great point as well, that, you know, there's more people and it does take that village to make something happen. And we've heard that many a times that it's more like a TV production if you think about it. So that's a great point as well. Something that I did want to touch on too is if either of you had any insights on budgets, and especially with, you know, like hybrid budgets and virtual, you know, platforms and things like that. Have you heard any like misconceptions around what people think that their event is going to cost, or maybe even what they can charge for their event in terms of monetization?
Oh yeah. So I would say that's a huge question that we get. Can I charge the same for my virtual event that I did in person? I think early in the pandemic, people just wanted attendees to show up in that crazy new era. So they were making their virtual events free, but your events can still have very valuable content. We found people are definitely willing to pay for them. So we like to say, you know, people can still pay for a ticket, and they're saving money. They're not flying anywhere. They're not getting a hotel. They're not paying for the meals. And of course, on the event organizer side, you're not paying for catering in the case of a virtual event or in a hybrid event. I mean, I would say everything depends on your production level. Hybrid events are kind of the best of all worlds and maybe the worst of all worlds as far as your budget, if you do want to have really nice production, because we do recommend having an AV team. So you're kind of planning an in-person event and a virtual same time. So that can be a really big range based on the needs of your audience, how many people are involved, what production level that you want. But again, like the tools are just making that production level more and more attainable. But we have found the hybrid event that Socio did earlier this year, we did have an AV team. We had our you know, a lot of our team on hand as well. So there is a really big range. So I think it's smart to start with your budget, because that's probably pretty set in stone, and then have different sets of tickets. And maybe, like I said, if you're going back to in person, you can still have that virtual ticket and expand your audience. I would say really early on, when a lot of customers were pivoting to virtual, they were saving so much money on the venue, on the catering, and had cash to spare, and really made their virtual events pretty production heavy and gorgeous. So I would start with budget and see where you can go from there. As far as one thing we've done in some of our webinars is have cameos, the site cameo.com. So you can kind of do some fun things like adding that production, kind of some surprise factors based on your budget and that production value you want.
Totally. Yeah. The devil is in the details. I definitely think so. So if you can kind of, yeah, pinch your budget or expand it a little bit more in those detail areas, I think that's always really exciting for attendees. Yeah. Sheehan, do you have anything else, either budget related or other, just things that people maybe aren't thinking about when they're thinking about event production in the virtual space?
Yeah. I mean, kind of going to the budget talk there. Many people think, oh, you don't have to spend a ton for a virtual event. But again, it does take some money to just make sure that you have a great experience for your attendees. So just echoing what Kara said, definitely go in with the budget there and talk about and think about those things in advance to ensure that you're able to have that great experience for the attendees. I know that we've seen a lot of our customers actually send over those cool little boxes that have fun little items in there, whether it be geared towards the event itself. Like, you know, we've seen speaker boxes or attendee boxes, creating that excitement, whether it have cookies or candy or some loungewear or any sort of gifts with the logos and stuff like that. So we've seen a lot of that sort of stuff. And again, that does take a little bit of your budget, but it creates that great experience for your attendees when they are at home and they're able to, you know, watch the production itself. So just thinking through those things in advance, I think is really, really important.
Yeah, I even got a box from you all, a little coffee themed box after speaking at one of your events. So it was really awesome. And yeah, I don't even know if I officially had the chance to thank you all, but that was just so cool and very, you know, very just sweet. And the details were there and it was really awesome. So yeah, I just loved you guys that really focus on that. Beyond like those little extras, is there maybe something that when you're talking to clients, there's, you know, either a line item or something that just commonly gets maybe forgotten about or something that you think people should spend more time thinking about? Because we notice that sometimes where, yeah, either if it's the speaker that people are thinking about or, you know, just different types of those production elements. Do you all see any of that when you're kind of sitting down with your clients as well?
Yeah, I can jump in there. So when it comes to really training, okay, so let's take a look at training your speakers and training your audience or your attendees for your virtual event. So you do have to train them, making sure they feel confident and comfortable when it comes to presenting in an event. So that's kind of more of that production level. And then also thinking about training your attendees by gearing them up with the clear communication for the event itself. So how are they going to join the event? How are they going to connect with attendees? I think oftentimes we'll have people send out an email just saying, hey, join the event at this time and this date. You know, obviously they signed up for the event, so they paid the registration fee, they have it on their calendar, but having that clear communication for attendees and for speakers, for staff, for your team, making sure everyone's on the same page. And again, it goes back to that clear communication, taking a step back. What are the logistics when people are going to go ahead and, you know, work together? And are you going to have a room where a virtual room where there's kind of like an HQ or, you know, so just thinking through a lot of those things in advance is really, really important. But that clear communication, I'm always been a huge fan of over communication. I want to make sure everyone is on the same page. I always want to make sure everyone knows what their role is within an event, especially a virtual event, because when you're in person, you're able to, hey, Jane, can you come and help me here for a second? But that's not as easy when it comes to a virtual event. So think through those things in advance, train your staff, train your speakers, training your attendees, making sure they understand how to download their mobile app, how to access their web version if they're going to be utilizing the computer for some live streaming. So think through those things, have clear direction and train them and make sure that they're all on the same page.
That is so great as well, because it just made me think of just those in-person elements that maybe kind of get dropped off. There really are so many of those little details. So that HQ room, yeah, there's going to be one at the in-person event. So there probably should be one for your virtual one. And same with, you know, the extra communication. There's, you know, signage that you have outside of a ballroom. You're not just going to have, you know, open doors and just expect people to know where to go. So all of those little things that maybe don't perfectly translate, they're going to look different, but they're so, so important. So I love that you touched on that. It's even something I didn't even think of yeah, signage of some sort or communication and training people how to join. It really is important. I love that. Have you seen anything else, Kara?
I am such a huge fan of gamification. So I like to describe it as something that's icing on the cake, but if you had a cake that didn't have icing, it wouldn't. I mean, you can have an event that doesn't have gamification, but gamification can add so much and also be kind of a part of that communication that Sheehan mentioned. So for example, at least how the gamification works in Socio, we kind of revolve around codes. So for example, you can have a code that says, hey, you have to join the event platform early, like a day in advance, or at least right on time. So you can use gamification to give extra points if people get there early. So then they're getting settled in, they are signing in, they're good to go. So if you kind of have people do that before the usual influx of like, hey, how do I sign in? What's my password? All of that. It really helps you with the event management. So I absolutely love using the game to help get people set. That's just toward your main event goals. And then of course you can gamify paying attention in different sessions or going and talking to your sponsors. I mean, kind of like translating that, you know, the usual passport thing, like go to all the booths, but you can do that virtually with, hey, you get a code every time you go to these different virtual booths for our sponsors. Sponsors love it. And attendees really love competing. I mean, we've found that even orthodontist conferences, you think, you know, some audiences that you don't really think would get competitive, people get competitive. The game can always be so key. It's always a huge hit. And I think that's a major piece of what helps attendees say that was really fun. That felt like in person, not just a bunch of content, a bunch of, you know, one-to-many videos. That's really key. I'm a huge fan.
No, that is amazing. Yeah, I know when we talked about, we're like, I was like, Kara, we have to have you on Event Icons. What are we going to talk about? And you're like, I could talk about gamification for a long time. So we might have to have you back for a separate gamification episode. But no, I think that's, again, just keeping people, you know, engaged. I know that's such a big thing with you all at Socio too. So that's, you know, a great way to do that. I think that's really awesome. And with all these things, I mean, so now there's speaker training and signage and figuring out, you know, the intricacies of maybe what this passport gamification is going to look like and how to get people to go to your sponsor booths. There's a lot of little details. So if you can maybe just touch on to what your ideal, so a client comes to you, they have nothing right now in terms of their event, maybe an idea. What would you say would be like the ideal timeline? Or are you seeing people kind of show up and do want to turn these around really fast? And you're like, whoa, 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 like you're going to need a little bit more time. Or are you seeing people kind of give it the time and space this event needs to grow? What are kind of some of the observations you all are seeing?
I can jump in there a little bit. I think it ranges. So it does range from people that are wanting to turn around an event here in the next few months to next year. And it does really depend upon the time that they're willing to invest up front. So if they have a team of people, whether it's a one man or woman show. So it really, really does range and it's a huge gamut. We definitely want to recommend, as I mentioned before, like kind of taking a step back, taking a look at what your goals are. How many attendees are you looking to have? What is the takeaway? What are you wanting them to think? Okay, last week I attended this virtual event and this is my main takeaway. These sessions really hit home with me. You know, curating a whole list of speakers for different sessions can be tricky with schedules, right? So if you are wanting to produce an event that's in 2 or 3 months, you know, the speakers might already have previous commitments. So thinking about those people that you want to have involved in the event and their scheduling and their ability to join you for the event can be a little bit tricky when you're wanting to turn around fast. Now, if it's a little bit farther out, it does give you a little bit more flexibility. You're able to set that date. Hopefully they're available for the event itself and you're able to execute appropriately. But it really does determine, it's determined by how many people you have on your team. If it's just you running the show, if you can have volunteers, you know, going back to the thing with virtual events take more than just one person being able to run the show. It does take help and assistance being able to execute the show. So, you know, Kara's done a fabulous job when she's running webinars and she's helping, you know, chat within the attendee chat and everything like that. It does take a lot. And being able to do all of that is tricky. So just making sure you have the help you need to execute. If you're wanting to execute one that's a little bit closer, you're going to need more people on board, more people, more hands in the fire, more. It does also bring more ideas. So you always think, how many cooks in the kitchen can you have? So you just have to think through those things and think about, okay, what are you trying to achieve? And where will this get you for your long-term goals?
Awesome. No, I think that's really good advice because I think as we were talking about earlier with things ping-ponging back and forth between, okay, what type of event am I going to do? If you have to make that quick switch, then okay, it's doable, but you're going to need to bring the team on that can help you achieve those goals. So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Kara, do you have anything else to add about timelines or any tips for people on when to start thinking about these little details?
Yeah, I echo a lot of what Sheehan said. I do think time is a luxury. I mean, we definitely have had customers who need to put on events very fast. And, you know, Socio's tools help you do that fast. I mean, it's possible to build an event in a very quick timeline. But of course, the more time you have, the more you can kind of go beyond the basics of an event and do that gamification and have some cool cameos or other just fun touches that make that event the next level kind of experience. So absolutely, you can do it in any time frame that you need to. But we have customers who are that fast time frame or the ones that in this crazy landscape are cautious. I mean, back in mid-2021, I had customers who said, yeah, we know for 2022, we're going to be virtual. And I was like, I haven't even thought about 2022 yet. But I mean, it was a safe bet and it's turned out to be a pretty good call. So when you have that timeline, you can think virtually and that long of a timeline, or maybe you're planning on hybrid, but in case something in the world is not in your favor, you do have that virtual element to fall back on. So time is just a beautiful luxury. And if you can swing that, then you're just going to have more time to put all those fun details into your event experience.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I feel like if you leave it to the last minute, it only takes a minute, but then you don't get all the exciting things to do. So I like that you are urging people to kind of think about it more. And people that are talking about 2022, it's crazy. It's already right around the corner. We're like halfway through this year. It'll be here before you know it. So yeah, thank you, ladies. I think you both shared so many amazing tips. I do want to let you both have the last word. If people listening were to take one thing away from this, one tip that you would leave resonating with event planners, what is that tip that you would share with them?
Carol, you want to jump in?
Yeah, Socio's customers are amazing. I've loved working with so many of them. And I think if anyone can continue to be resilient and innovative in this crazy world we are still in, it's going to be them. So we have done this pivot. We may have this next wave with a couple more cancellations or pivots having to happen, which is a heartbreak. But I think event organizers, event professionals are the ones who can make an incredible experience even with the non-ideal circumstances. So I think the industry, the technology, the ideas are still just going to keep evolving, and event professionals are going to be the ones to help push that. So even if we do have to stay virtual, I think virtual is really fun. I mean, I've been in my basement here for, 16 months now, no end in sight, but the virtual events, you can still get so much warmth, so much fun out of those. So even if that's the reality we're in, there's still so much we can do with that and have fun with it.
Awesome. I love that. Shein?
I totally agree with Kara when it comes to the virtual event experience, and then event organizers in general just being so, nimble and everything like that. So hats off to you all, doing an amazing job. One thing that I think that's really important and somewhat forgotten, but also was mentioned actually on a previous Event Icons episode, is just taking care of yourself. So your health and well-being. I know the guidebook and everything like that, like really focus on taking care of yourself and then also letting it transpire to your attendees. Taking a look at sessions that go back to back for 9 hours is challenging for your attendees. So allow for those breaks within your schedule for your attendees, having them have lunch, get up and go to the restroom, water, taking a walk, things like that is forgotten a lot, I think. So make sure when you take a look at your scheduling for your attendees and your event and everything like that, an in-person event, you would probably have a break. So focus on that with your attendees in the virtual setting, but then also take care of yourself too. So set that example, take care of your, make sure you get enough sleep. I know event planning is a very challenging industry. So making sure you're taking care of yourself and so that you can, produce the events and focus on what you're trying to accomplish. So I'm very passionate about health and well-being. So I think that event organizers need to continue to take care of themselves.
Awesome. Shein, thank you also for the throwback to another Event Icons episode. I love that you've been watching. That's so great. Definitely an important thing. And I think just one thing that I learned from both of you of just this entire episode is really the translation between that in-person to virtual. I think, that pivot, like we all talk about, happened really, really quick. But now that we have that, a little bit more time and to evolve and do better, think about those tiny little details from in-person that maybe you left off and didn't get translated over, and translate them over. So I learned so much from the both of you. Thank you so much for joining me and sharing all of your infinite knowledge and wisdom about production and virtual events. For people who are tuning in and want to be able to find out more about Socio, I'm putting in the chats right now for Facebook, YouTube, and Periscope, socio.events for anyone else who isn't getting the chat. That's where you can go to find more information. If you want to plan virtual or even, that hybrid in-person as we get back to it, we don't know what the future will hold quite yet. But again, thank both of you so much for being on here with me. And we will have to have you back soon.
Thanks so much, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Hashtag Event Icons. To catch all of the bonus content, resources mentioned, and an invite to our Facebook and LinkedIn groups, head to www.event-icons.com. Also, let us know what you thought about this week's episode. Share your biggest takeaway and just tag your social media posts with hashtag Event Icons. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon right here on hashtag Event Icons.